This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Hide and seek.
Sit back and enjoy the ride. And enjoy the ride. And enjoy the ride. And enjoy the ride. And enjoy the enjoy. And enjoy the enjoy. And enjoy the enjoy.
Hide and
seek. And enjoy the ride.
Travis DeJong and Dean Beck with you. This is Hide and Seek.
Indeed.
And we've had a lovely text come through from Jill.
We have, and she says, I loved Mr. Myers, and yeah, I don't get the foot thing either. She has good show so far, fellas. Don't fuck up the next hour and you'll be all good. And why would we fuck up the next hour? How could we?
At least I know you can say fuck now.
Indeed. And it is with that wonderful introduction that I welcome Jez to Hide and Seek. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
An absolute pleasure. And Vasco tried to start up the combi van. We tried to even give it a push start. But sadly, he's still with us. Vasco, welcome back for never leaving.
And here I am without my cans on. I can't hear a thing. Hello. Thank you, Dean.
You can hear my voice.
Well, yeah. I mean,
it's not the same ambience.
I'm missing out the dulcet tones.
Could we try, gentlemen, whilst we have a very special guest in Jez, could we try and at least be a little professional in this hour?
Well, you've separated us now, so we'll be on better behaviour. So,
now, Jez, you're a really interesting character, apart from being very sexy.
Thank you.
You're a trans man.
Yes.
Explain that for us.
Well, how I explain it when I'm out talking to people who don't know much about it and don't know, obviously, because you can't really tell, I will explain it as though I wasn't born a boy.
Sure.
Yeah.
And when did you find within yourself that, you know, well, what everyone's thinks I am, I'm not really comfortable with? When did that sort of start to come about?
Well, I think you start to, it's different for all people, but for myself, I started to realize when I was very young, definitely.
2, 3, 4?
I would say probably 6, 7, 8,
okay,
around that time.
Yep.
The clearest memory I have is verbalizing at the dinner table, around the family dinner table, that I was a boy, and my mum saying, "No, you're not." And I said, "Well, I will when I get a, I will be when I get a sex change."
Wow! So it was really that strong.
Hang on, well back. How old were you then?
8.
Wow.
Well, I will be when I get a sex change. Where did that come from?
I don't know. Me, TV was probably a little bit more racy than it was, than I thought it was, but I have no idea.
But you knew what it meant.
Obviously, I'm picking up on things that were irrelevant to me.
Yeah.
At the time, and that was personal to me, and you know, always a bit of a tomboy, playing with the boys with my shirt off, swimming in the pools, this sort of thing. And I don't think for kids, gender is something that is important to them until they start to be guided by their peers or by older kids or by parents or by teachers as they develop a bit older.
But sexuality often comes, for some, comes before gender. And for me, I was sort of about 4 or 5 when I started exploring my sexuality. And I guess I didn't really have to battle with the gender thing. So, you know, I didn't see that as coming before or after. But when did your sexuality take form, or did you have to get the gender bit right first, or how did that work?
Well, they're both totally separate, and I think treating them as totally separate things, totally separate journeys, they have their own timeline, I guess, and they do interweave with each other, because, you know, you're trying to reconcile your identity and your gender identity, and sometimes that can manifest in ways of like, well, I'm attracted to this person, that must mean that I'm this.
Sure.
That must mean that I'm a gay, you know, gay woman. But that's not actually the type of attraction that I have at an age of,
absolutely,
say, teenagers. Or so.
Let's slow down a little bit here and explore what it was like growing up with you battling. Let's just focus on the gender side of things for the moment. Growing up as a tomboy, were you bullied?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did some of that even come from your own parents, like them imposing, you know, realizing that you had a certain kind of leaning and them saying, what, we need to do some feminizing here or something?
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny that you ask these questions because I'm nearly 30. I'm 30 this year, and you forget about certain memories, but now you're triggering back to my parents wanting me to join the Jen Clark School for Women.
Shut up, really? Oh, my God.
What's the Jen Clark School for Women? Sorry.
It's like a finishing school. Yeah, right, you know.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Well, my parents are beautiful people, and they've accepted me for all that I am, and it has been no issue at all. But as young parents do, they want the best for their children, and society puts this pressure on you to be providing that for your children. So they thought, you know, I have a daughter, I need them to be acting this way, but I always put up a fight.
It's all right, I went
including
to
the Irish dancing my mum made me do.
Oh my goodness me.
I went to soccer, you know, that was useless too.
But the change rooms after that would have been hot. Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you have
sacrificed it just for that?
There weren't any.
The never is good, you know, like those high school fantasies are always so much better in porn films than they are in real life.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there were no change rooms. Yeah. It was just muddy fields and then in the back of the car and off.
So to speak.
Like so many things. Yeah.
Although I could tell you a few stories about scouts that were fun. Anyway. Scouts. So, going to school and, you know, battling it within yourself, and then dealing with the battles in the playground as well, it must have meant some pretty tough times.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm really fortunate, and I think I tend to live in the moment now, so I'm very happy with my life. But if I think back then, and I put myself back there, it was difficult. It was really difficult. Every day was a struggle, that's for sure. Mm. Yeah. Mm.
And because it's such a visual part of your identity as well. I can imagine that you were expressing. There's never ever leaving that behind. People always pick on that, and they can tell that it's something that's hurting you.
Yeah, yeah. So, and kids can be really nasty. And any form of self-expression that's drastic, like cutting your hair short or starting to wear pants instead of the normal school uniform, like bang, they're on you straight away. So
when did you start? Not the, I guess, if you like, chemical or biological transition, but the transition within yourself mentally, because that has to really start first, doesn't it?
Yeah, that started quite a few years before I decided to physically transition. You know, there was a lot of things I needed to work out. What was important to me? How would it be perceived? What does it actually mean? And what will become of me at the end of the journey? I knew very little about what was involved. I had very few peers. It's not something that's public or that you can go easily find information about. So I embarked on a journey overseas. I packed up. I left my job. I had a good career. I was 22 years old and I was a general manager of a small company, and I was already traveling for business, and I had to pack all that in and to totally transform my life and start from scratch. You know, I had a fairly well-paid job and I had to drop down, you know, I don't like to talk about wages, but I had to drop 30K to start at a new job in a new gender role because I couldn't give my referee from my first job because it would out me. So I've had to, you know, sacrifice quite a bit, but I embarked on a journey overseas to discover what it was like and other people out there in other cities. And that's been really valuable for me to travel overseas and get a lot of inspiration that way.
We're speaking with Jez. He is a trans man, and we're exploring life, love, issues, and I guess there's a bit of fun there as a trans man. We'll be back with more shortly. You're on Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek. I think you'd have to be gentle.
You're with Dean Beck, Travis DeJean, the one and only Vasco Myers. And
I love that music. It makes me feel like I want to have a martini going, clinking in the background there, you know, sucking on a cigarette. It's just wonderful.
Or something similar.
Not that we endorse drinking or smoking.
Not at all.
On this station.
I have hormone changing substances.
Our special guest is trans man Jez. Now, Jez, does it concern you that we constantly refer to you as trans man?
Mm. Well, you need to put it in context for the show, but you can just say man from now on.
Okay, right. Done.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Deal.
Yeah, agreed.
And it's important to actually say that you are, in every sense of the word, a man. And yeah. For the listeners who can't see you, I saw you on the cover of a magazine recently, and it took me months. I had no idea. I had no idea that, you know, you were ever anything but a man.
Yeah.
You embody it so much. You've got hairy arms, hairy chest, tattoos. Completely.
Yeah. You know. I can grow a pretty mean beard.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Sure do.
Which is interesting, because we were just having a very quick chit chat. You know, you're born with sex and society ascribes gender. And I was just asking, wonderful young man here, I was just asking him, if the world was had been a more fluid place where we weren't ascribed a gender role, where we were allowed to develop and be ourselves, would there still be a need to transition from one ascribed gender role to another ascribed gender role, or would you be able to be masculine with feminine genitalia? Or the attributes, the secondary sexual characteristics of a female, but still be male. See, it's a fuzzy area for me.
Yeah.
To understand.
Yeah. Well, I think that for myself, I mean, I can only speak for myself, and I understand that society does construct gender into really two roles, male and female. And there's so much attached to those two roles.
They're artificial and they're learnt.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. Yeah, they are. They are.
Jez, I've always thought that gay men in a relationship know what because they're both men, they know what the other man is thinking, or at least they know the thought patterns. They know how a man thinks. And in a straight relationship, a male-female relationship, the male perhaps makes allowances for the way the woman thinks, because he will never know the way the woman thinks, and therefore they make that allowance, and they do vice versa. How do you think?
How do I think?
Yeah.
Have
you always thought?
I have male thoughts. Especially, to be honest, I don't mean to insult men, but when I started testosterone, I started to feel a little bit more stupid. I really did. I started to forget things. I wasn't able to multitask as well as I ever was before.
How interesting. But, and that's kind of what I'm getting at.
Yeah, you know? I think that there are things like that.
So there's a chemical reality.
Possibly. I mean, I wish we had someone qualified to speak on that, but I know that I definitely noticed a change. Going to the supermarket, I found it much harder to shop.
I had a very interesting experience at a supermarket recently.
Yes, Vasco.
But I think, you know,
love is everywhere.
I think it just comes down to making the effort to understand your partner, whether they're male or female or the same sex or opposite sex. And I think that can be reached.
Sure, like, you know, sure. So we've sort of explored the gender side of things. Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about the sexuality side of things, because it's often something that gets mixed up. Because when gender changes, sometimes sexuality doesn't. Sometimes it does.
Mm-hmm.
So are you attracted to men or to women?
I'm attracted to both. Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely became more attracted to men as I started to become more masculine, started to become a man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is part of that sort of identifying with more with men as well? Like, it's sort of a way of taking on a bit more of that kind of thing?
I think part of it was a learning process in, I want to find male friends.
Yeah.
And I want male friends that are going to understand the same issues and have the same lived experiences that I've had. So I'm going to go
Hang on a minute. The same experiences you've had? Similar
experiences in a non-conservative, non-hetero, non-straight background.
Okay.
Got it.
I guess a queer background.
And
that can embody politics, etc., lifestyles,
sure,
interests. But, you know, having said that, I'm not denying at all my physical attraction to men. You know,
that still
totally exists.
Have you always been attracted to both genders? When you were younger, did you lean towards a certain one way or the other? Or
When I was younger, I leaned towards women.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did you ever have an experience where you were, you know, like openly lesbian, for example, and had lesbian friends and that sort of thing?
When I was younger, I sort of came to Melbourne and I started to get involved in the drag king scene. Mm-hmm. I do recall always sort of stating that I didn't identify as a lesbian. It wasn't a word that I felt comfortable with. Mm-hmm. I preferred the word gay because I felt like that was kind of a unisex term. You know, mm-hmm. everyone can be same-sex attracted or gay. Eventually, I started to, you know, learn about, you know, queer, what queer is, and that fits me much better than gay or straight or, you know, heterosexual.
Okay.
You know, bisexual is a term I'm starting to, you know, I think it needs to come back.
I think it's an exciting term as well, because, I mean, for people who, there are actually people who aren't just confused, they are actually genuinely into bi.
And the term that I keep hearing of late is sexually fluid.
Mm.
Which is, I guess, a new interpretation, perhaps, of bisexual.
Yeah, mm. yeah.
Having sex with men in a gay situation,
yeah.
How are you accepted?
It varies from person to person. I'm totally accepted in all venues like the circuit and Laird, etc., because at face value, I just blend in with everybody else. I will wait if I hit it off with someone and I'm attracted to them and they're attracted to me, I will try and sense, what is this person like? I try to sense, is there a level of safety here before I even bother telling them the truth? And that conversation is a really stressful conversation for me to have.
Wow. Yeah, sure.
And that's sort of part of the reason why I wanted to, you know, start working on this project, dude, to educate the wider community about alleviating the stress off me and other people like me in having to eradicate the need to have this conversation. I still think it's valid for other people to have their experience in responding and receiving what information I'm giving, but if everyone sort of knew some information and language, it would help me and others a lot more.
And I have to congratulate you, because by starting Dude, which is, listener, a magazine, and is it a support sort of network as well? It's sort of like a forum.
Yeah, it will be. It definitely is also a forum because it's had submissions from a wide range of transmasculine people.
But from what I've seen of it, it has, in very clear language, some really well-defined explanations as to the issues faced by trans men.
Yes, yeah.
And there are very few role models in this arena. Buck Angel is one, mm-hmm. and Sher's son is one as well.
Yeah, Chaz, yeah.
Yeah. And so there are very few that are prepared to put their face out publicly and stand proud in this arena. And I really congratulate you for doing so, Jez. It's big
Thank
time.
Thank you.
It really is.
Yes, yes. Very brave.
We're speaking with Jez. He is one hell of a man.
Indeed.
Dean Beck and Travis DeJong, joined by Vasco Myers here.
Very attractive young man.
You're listening to Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. You're speaking with Dean Beck.
And Travis DeJonk. And, of course, the fantastic Mr. Teapot, Vasco Myers.
Who's had his teapot put up on a ledge. And
away from the instrumentalities.
Indeed.
Indeed.
You should see what happens to us if anything gets
there's a situation
on this.
Developing. Mm. I'll try to keep my fluids contained.
Our special guest is Jez, and he's an extraordinary young man who has received an email.
Oh, yes.
thank you, Jill. She says she promises this. You can send
emailing.
As many emails as you like, my love. She just wanted to say, A, you haven't fucked up the second hour at all. Thank you, darling. Wow. And B, I think that people like Jez need a medal.
Wow.
In what other context do you meet someone at a club or a bar and think to yourself, when do I tell this person what I feel
wow.
I need to tell them, and how do I do so safely?
Mm.
It's pretty darn big, and it's also pretty foreign to most people. Good on you, Jez. Congratulations. Thank you, Jill, for that.
Thanks, That's Jill.
Really lovely. Jez, tell us a little bit about the magazine.
Okay.
And the website,
yeah.
and how that came about, and your motivation for doing it, and how many people like you are there in our fair town?
I wish I knew.
Yeah.
I know that I have a large group of friends that, you know, that identify in, you know, in my shoes, but I'm sure there's a lot more that do what they need to do in their own lives and plod along with it and you know, just don't get too involved in the community that I'm involved in. But it's too hard to quantify, really. I mean, there's email groups, there's social groups, you know, and because of privacy reasons, you really couldn't go through a doctor's, you know, listing, but there might be a few hundred, you know. I don't know what the percentage of the population is, but there's hundreds.
Okay.
At least, thousands of...
Am I right in thinking that there's not really... Is there like a census question, like, you know, asking about are you trans or anything like that? Because they're not allowed to do that, are they? I'm just thinking,
a whole other thing. Man, if they got to that point, that'd be pretty progressive, I reckon.
Travis, they don't even ask if you're gay.
I know, yeah. I know. Yeah, so
I don't think they're there yet.
Yeah, but no, but I've... You know, Australia's a fairly small country in terms of population. You go to San Francisco and... I'm sure that would outweigh all of Australia's, you know, trans guys easily.
Where did you go? You said you went overseas. Where did you go to get more information?
Yeah. Berlin was a city I spent a lot of time in.
Okay.
Yeah.
You would have found all sorts of extraordinary things in
Berlin.
Yeah,
it wasn't the only thing I explored.
Jawohl.
I love that. I love that.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah. Amsterdam and London and Barcelona, Paris.
But you, we've talked about the safety aspect of negotiating. I would imagine not just sex, but conversation.
Yeah.
How did you find being in a unique environment outside of your own country, outside of your own comfort zone? How did you find negotiating those conversations?
Well, out of my own hometown and out of my skin, you know, sort of thing, it was a lot easier overseas.
Easier?
It was, you know, start from scratch, you can be anyone you want to be. And you can, all of a sudden you shape shift without even realizing it, and the energy you start giving off is received exactly how you want it.
It's a great term, actually.
Yeah.
And the shape shift term is... a perfect term, but what you then stated was that when you start being the you want to be, you actually do attract the people you want to attract.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's something everyone would have in common. You know.
That happens. And if we could only realise that in our own hometown.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
I know. But there's a lot of stress involved in your own hometown. You're running into people every day, and you feel like you have to explain yourself more than you really should have to.
Yeah, and if you reveal something, it's going to stay there rather than, you know, you can meet someone in Europe and you'll never see them ever again if you don't want to. So.
Well, that's right. It's easier to follow your bliss when you're free of the constraints of others' expectations of you.
Yeah.
It's easier to do it when you're free of your own.
Indeed. Oh, it's very deep and profound. I like that.
Oh, I'll have to have a think about that one.
You might need to go overseas to discover it yourself.
Well, you know, I've not.
I can recommend a good Russian.
I've been to North America, and that was a bitterly sad experience.
Look, let's take another.
Nothing was ever proven, Dean.
Yeah, if you keep saying it, we eventually might believe it. Let's take another break. We'll come back and we'll actually ask Jez the question you're all wanting to hear.
Award-winning radio for our community. Joy 94.9.
I am Francois Sagat, and you are listening to Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. Dean Beck, Travis DeJonc, the one and only Vasco Myers, and the very sexy Jez in the studio as our special guest. And Jez will be the special guest at Pleasure Salon Melbourne this coming Monday night. It's... an amazing discussion group about all things sex positivity-ism-wise. And it's on the first Monday of every month, and it's at a new venue, and I wish I had it right here in front of me.
I think it's called 24 Moons.
Thank you very much, it is too.
ACDC Lane in the city.
Yeah, great venue.
That's exactly right.
I think
right.
It starts at 6, the doors open at 6.
That's correct.
Hi, Cindy.
And Jez is the special guest this coming Monday night at Pleasure Salon Melbourne, so that's going to be good.
Yeah, please come along. I'm looking forward to it, and be good to get a good mix of people there. Yeah,
I'm very excited to say it's going to be my first Pleasure Salon workshop. I'm very excited to be going.
You'll have a great time.
Hi, Cindy.
It's as Jez has already apparently been to one of the Pleasure Salons. It's a great night.
Yeah, that was your one, I think, as I recall.
Will you tell the story that you told us before in the studio about a slightly embarrassing tale that goes with that?
Well, Cindy Darnell, you know, the founder of the Melbourne Pleasure Salon, she had mentioned that there was going to be a segment on anal sex or anal fisting, and I replied accidentally to the entire Facebook group. When is that anal guy on, Cindy?
You're forever that anal guy, Dean. Which is quite appropriate.
I'm blushing, but it's nice to know I've got a fan. Jez, it would be irresponsible of us not to touch on the touchy bits. Now, transitioning from female to male is no bed of roses, and it starts with, your head first, but then it starts with hormone therapy?
Yeah, hormone therapy, a series of doctor's appointments and checkups and approvals, psychologists, all this sort of thing. Yep. Yeah, all this rigmarole and red tape.
Pills?
No, injections.
Hormone injections.
It's an oil-based substance that I got trained by a doctor to eventually inject myself into my butt.
Yep.
And, yeah, I do that myself now. And
that produces facial hair?
Well, yeah, that your body then undergoes a transformation, a hormonal transformation, and things start to stop. Things stop and things start. So
okay.
Yeah, so it masculinizes your body. So, you know, more muscle, facial hair, deeper voice,
so
clearly.
So the secondary sex characteristics kick in.
So does that sort of stuff require upkeep, or is it the sort of thing like after you go through it for a certain amount of time, your body just clicks over?
I'll always have to do it.
Right. Yep. Okay, cool.
If I stop doing it, obviously the hair wouldn't just all fall out, but some things might reverse slightly. Mm. It's a medical maintenance, you know.
Yeah. Breasts?
Yeah, well, yeah, basically, you know, what we refer to as our chests, undergo an operation, which is called chest surgery or chest reconstruction or top surgery.
And it's the removal of breast tissue and a reconstructive to a flatter chest.
Yeah, they basically, you know, do what they need to do to create a masculine chest. And there's some amazing surgeons around the world, and particularly in Australia, which, you know, fortunately for us, are willing to use their expertise. Yeah, and really, it's there's no reason why they shouldn't, because they do a whole lot of other operations and surgical procedures for lots of people to do things that they need done. So,
sure.
Yeah, so we end up with a male chest. Yeah, pecs and everything. I can bench press nearly 60 kilos.
Yeah, I've seen your I've seen your chest. It's a pretty
stop
good chest.
Showing off.
It's buff. It's buff.
Now you're putting me to shame.
I lied, actually, anyway. So
look, I'd never know. Well, you know, then there's the finer points. What about the dick?
Yeah, well, I'm proud to say that I have a very healthy dick. What it looks like, only my lover would know, or, you know, if you're willing to get on your knees, you might find out as well. But,
but it's polite to ask nicely first, right?
Yeah, well, basically, you know, if the conversation has developed because the two of you are going to get it on, it's reasonable to discuss that sort of information. Yeah. But if it's out of curiosity or the context has nothing to do with the two of you getting it on, then generally a rule is like, don't go below the belt.
Okay.
You know, you know.
But our listener will want to know that I guess the process. And we're not going to post on the blog your cock, but let's talk about the process, because I believe there are two types of surgical procedures that can occur. With limited success. And it's bloody painful.
I reckon it would be painful. There are a few procedures And to be honest, I'm not a great expert in this area either. There's a few procedures. But I'd like to preface talking about that by saying whatever shape or form someone's, you know, a trans guy's or, you know, a man's genitalia is, it is always how they feel it is, which is a cock. And whether that's size orientated or the aesthetics, it's how you approach it and it's how you open your mind to that area. Is really what makes sex sort of, you know, hot, and it's nothing to be afraid of.
That's
obviously
no different,
you know,
than
anyone else.
Than anyone else.
And yeah, that's right. And there's in terms of size, there's obviously men, in the difference between men already, there's difference in size.
Mm-hmm.
The procedure, there's one procedure called a phalloplasty, which is probably, to me, you know, it looks like the most... It is, I'd say it'd be the most expensive and most invasive, because what they do is they remove... And if anyone is listening and knows more than this, feel free to email now. But they remove a muscle from your inner forearm and your skin, and they create a penis that way. There's other... You can get testicular implants. Yep. They can... You already get natural growth from testosterone anyway down that area.
Yeah,
so
sure.
There's... I would encourage people to do a bit of research online, and I can certainly share some information.
There is definitely stuff out there.
Yeah.
And I've interviewed a couple of trans men before, and I know that they've actually kept their female genitalia, mainly because they're just waiting for improvements in surgical procedures and stuff, because they think, well, look, I've got something completely functioning.
And there are others like Buck Angel who have no intention of changing their... structure below the belt, but are very much trans men.
I mean, when I said that I have what I have, is natural, and that's how I refer to it as, because I am happy with that. There's not a problem with that at all. Totally.
We've got this SMS, Travis, that's just come through.
Indeed. It says, hi guys, great show. Glad you're enjoying it. Is it true that trans male have an extra rib taken out if they were to fully transition as well? And that comes from Kim from Frankston. I've never heard that before.
Rib.
A rib taken out.
I'm not talking about Patsy and Eddie.
No, I'm thinking, like
Adam, lift, lose a rib.
Adam and Steve.
Adam
and Eve, sorry. What did I say?
Haven't heard of that one.
You wouldn't need to change your rib cage to change your gender.
It's good to know, though. But you know, there you go, Kim.
Jez, I got a bit of a feeling that there's been a hell of a hard path for you to tread to get to where you are now. But I'm feeling that you're kind of pleased that you have tread that path, because you're a much more learned man than most 30-year-olds I've met.
Yeah. Yeah. Damn that.
Nothing wrong with that. That's fantastic.
Is that a bad thing?
No, it's not a bad thing, but there's an element of sadness to it as well, you know, in feeling like you've missed out on the simple bliss and ignorance of everybody else, you know, in your youthful age.
Yeah.
But, you know, really, at the end of the day, if I can connect, you know, with a whole range of and diverse people,
there must be a certain level of empowerment, though, that you wish that you celebrate each day, now being the person that you really want to be.
Yeah, that's true.
We're talking to Jez, an extraordinary man who will be the special guest at Pleasure Salon Melbourne this coming Monday. You're Dean Beck, Travis DeJong, and a very quiet Vasco Myers. Jez, who apparently has a bit of a sex life.
A bit of a naughty boy. Yeah, Sescapade. Indeed.
So, because, you know, this is the other thing. You got to have a sex life to live, don't you?
Absolutely. I mean, sex makes everyone happy, doesn't it?
I would have thought
I hope so. Yeah, that's a plan.
Makes me happy when I get it. So, you do all right?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I don't have any problems. I mean, I'd also like to say hello to my girlfriend Raz before I talk about this topic.
Fair call.
Yeah, but I mean, when you asked me earlier, how do I go when I tell men in the gay male scene, it's 95% not a problem. You know,
right?
There's been very few incidents where they go, I'm not into that, because I think to not undermine, you know, you know, gay men as well, that there's a level of connection, there's a level of attraction of who you are. And
well, you're a very sexy man.
Yeah, no doubt about that. No doubt about it.
So, you know, let's be quite clear on that.
Yeah.
And so I can see how that works for you.
Yeah. Because some people are very divorced from the sexual process. Like, I think, you know, you're obviously not like that. You have lots of hot sex with men and women and all that, and it's all, yeah. It all happens. Yeah,
it's all good. Yeah,
yeah, wow.
Yeah.
So, in Melbourne, where would you, like, you said you go out to the Laird and stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, you know, I've been to Club 80, the Laird Circuit. I should have actually asked them to pay me to say all this, but... Circuit upstairs is obviously
they don't
free.
Pay me to say it.
Oh, really? Okay. They might not even let me back in if they ever see my picture anyway.
So. I'm sure they will.
Jez, you said you made reference to your girlfriend then.
Yeah.
You're seeing someone.
Yeah, I'm in a relationship with a beautiful woman.
Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah. She's queer-minded, I'm queer-minded, you know. Okay. We work all that sort of out, you know, and I'm very happy, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. But in my life, I've had a lot of exciting hot sex with a lot of different people and, you know, men all around the world in lots of different environments. The Kit Kat Club in Germany, Berlin.
Yeah.
San Francisco is a mecca, you know, it's just for fun. You know, the daddy bear bars and, you know, I don't know if you've ever been to the Russian River Resort.
No, but...
I haven't been to San Francisco.
I'm actually about to go to San Francisco and to Berlin for the first time this year.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pick your brain about where to go.
Yeah.
You know, I can't wait. I can't sound so good.
Yeah.
Now, Jez, we can catch up with you at Pleasure Salon Melbourne this coming Monday night. Kicks off at 6 o'clock. Where's that on again?
24 Moons, at ACDC Lane in the city.
We should give your magazine a plug, Dude Magazine, which is coming out very shortly.
Yeah, if you come to the Pleasure Salon, you might get a limited pre-release copy.
Right.
Otherwise, come to the official launch, which is Friday the 18th of
this
February.
This limited pre-release copy?
Yeah. I noticed you had a copy on the phone.
And you're thinking,
like,
how the hell did he get that?
Yeah, but I guess they're just downstairs, the Also Foundation, aren't they?
That's the best thing about being in this building. I love it.
And the Also Foundation, their Take Care Out There project, is supporting your endeavours.
Yeah, that's right. Crusader and Alex and Gabrielle down there have been really, really supportive and helpful. And it's currently being printed, thanks to them. And the good thing about Also is that they're going to help me distribute it far wider than I would be able to myself. And it's going to be a free publication, education should be free. So
I'll put a few in the van, I think.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It is important to mention too that it is very much like a guide for anyone who considers themselves to be, you know, just trans or,
you know,
just
what?
Even
it's
curious.
A bloody good guide for
absolutely
anyone,
friends, family. I mean, actually, families. Depending on a certain relative, there is some explicit photography in there, and I probably wouldn't show it to my mum because she'd pass out, but.
Or she'd be incredibly intrigued.
They've seen me pull a massive cock out while I did a drag show once.
I would show it to my mother for that very reason. But that's just me. Hey, Jez, I want to really thank you very much for being so open and sharing with us tonight. Good luck on Monday night. I know you'll be fantastic and knock 'em dead. And keep up the great work. You're an inspiration. Thank you.
Thank you. Indeed. Thanks for having me.
Vasco Myers, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Most welcome, Dean.
Travis DeJong, always a pleasure.
Indeed. Looking forward to next week.
Can't wait. Till then, you take care. Thank you for listening. We'll catch you very soon.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.